born to die, that he might give eternal life, that I might live.
Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at YankeeArnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message. Jesus saved
my soul that night. You may want to serve the Lord today, but you don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't have to know. You don't even need to know. Now, one thing that Paul did know is that he was going to be put in bonds. He's going to be chained if he goes to Jerusalem. But he was determined, I'm going to Jerusalem. And it doesn't appear that the scripture says that what Paul did was wrong. It's that he was warned so that he knew what was going to happen. Now, it makes a statement here in verse 23, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Because, see, God knows what's going to happen in the future. So Paul knew there's a good possibility I'll never come this way again. I will never see these people again. And Paul wanted them to know that he poured out his heart and what he had gone through, and all the trials, the afflictions, what Satan has done, and all these men that lied in wait trying to kill him, and what he went through just to get the gospel to people. You see, this is why even today, there's a lot of things that we will go through to get the gospel to people. Just for example, we may have to, rent a camera, and all the work that's been done with all the editing and the kids acting, and then to try to get it to where it can be put on a website or a YouTube, but maybe thousands of people will see it. I just found this out just yesterday. Some guy sent me an email. He says, you don't know me, but I thought I would just let you know that I've been taking some of your sermons and putting them on YouTube. Now, this is another guy. And so he gave me a link. So I clicked on the link to see what this guy's doing with my messages. And they're the videos. And he's getting them off our church website. So evidently he's downloading them, and he putting them on the YouTube. So when you put them on the YouTube, I went there, and I never go there unless somebody tells me about something and I look at it. And he had a whole bunch of my sermons. And it'll also tell you how many people have clicked onto it. And the one sermon, I don't forget the name of it, was about 1,100 people had, listened to that sermon. And that was one sermon, and it was a bunch of the sermons there. Another guy had emailed me from up north someplace, and he had put a bunch of mine on there, so I clicked it on to see what in the world was going on with that. And it was the same thing. So I don't know how much this happened, because if they hadn't told me, I wouldn't even have known that. We never know how far our message is going to go, who we're reaching. Who would have ever dreamed that some sweet little lady by the name of Judith would be all the way out there in Littleton, Colorado, listening to the radio broadcast. You don't know who we're going to be reaching. And so you just keep sowing the seeds, just keep sowing the seeds. When we get to heaven, one day we'll see all those people, all those faces of the people that have been reached from the ministry that God's given to us. And notice what he says here. In verse 23, he says, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But get this, in verse 24, now he had been in rebellion to God, and God had told him not to go, and he said, I'm going to go anyway. Then that doesn't make sense with verse 24. None of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. How are you going to finish it with joy if you know you're in rebellion and the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to go? or and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So I see that the Holy Spirit warned Paul of what's coming down the road, and if you do this, this is what's going to happen. Because you see, there was one place that Paul went, and the Lord told him, says, I got much people in this place, so you can take a little break. You're going to have a little ease for here for a little while. So for several years, Paul had it kind of easy. Nobody was killing them at the time and beating them up. But Paul suffered. So he says, none of these things move me. Talking about the afflictions. Nothing is going to change him from the goal that he has, from the purpose of his life. You don't want to stop. You don't want to change. And so therefore, you keep doing what God wants you to do. And he says, I want to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. So you have to believe that God has a course for you, God has a ministry for you, and that you want to finish that which God has given to you to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You notice it's always about talking about the Lord, testify, talking about the Lord. Verse 25, and now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Good possibility he got that language, maybe from the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about being free from the blood of all men, warning people. And so that's what he did. I can't say that, but Paul could. He was a very unusual man. But he says that I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, nobody could point their finger at Paul. Nobody can accuse Paul. That Paul, you was here and you never told me how to be saved. I mean, I don't know how a man can say that. But he says in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've told you all that I know. I've taught you. And part of that responsibility that I'm free from the blood of all men is because I have taught you to care for all men. I have told you and taught you that which you need to preach to other people. Paul can't reach everybody in the world. None of us can. Hank Lindstrom was a great soul winner, but could Hank reach everybody? No, you're not going to reach everybody. But we're supposed to teach others the responsibility. And so you can fulfill your responsibility by the ones that you can win and by the ones that you can train. That's why it needs to be a balance. But now, another thing I want you to see, that he begins to warn them. Here's people that he has won to Christ. A church has been started. There's leaders in the church. He said, and I've taught you all the counsel of God. Sometimes when you teach everything that's in the book, it hits somebody the wrong way all the time. You can't please everybody. And one of the biggest dangers that preachers have is trying to warn people of a danger. If you try to tell somebody a particular problem and they don't see it, they think you're off your rocker. If I was to say, see that guy over there? Yeah, that's a wolf. And they don't see any signs of him being a wolf. They're going to think you're a wolf. And if you don't say something, and the wolf eats up half the flock, well, why didn't you say something? So you're a dog if you do, you're a dog if you don't. Your timing is so important. There's things that are going on in our country right now. Did you know I can warn people about things that are going on in this country and people will get mad? Because they don't see it as a danger. They don't see what you see. They don't expect the preacher to say stuff about government. Read the Bible and cut out everything that deals with government. You won't have much of a Bible left. The Bible teaches us how to live. It tells us what kind of a government to have and to choose godly men in a nation that forgets God and what happens to it, and that sin is a reproach unto any people. There's all kinds of warnings in Scripture. Was Joseph involved in government? Was Daniel involved in government? Was Moses involved in government? Was David involved in government? Well, slap my mouth. When Jesus was here, did he have to deal with government? Did John the Baptist have to face government? Didn't the apostles have to face government? And to think that we're not going to face government? We have the privilege of living in a wonderful country. But we're losing our freedoms in America. And there's some dark days coming down the road. We might as well know it and own up to it. It's not going to be pretty. Something's wrong in America. But Paul says, I got something I got to talk to you about. So he says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Doesn't say to fleece the church of God. To feed the church of God. I believe there's a lot of churches that, or the preachers, that's all they want is just their money or their membership. And I know there's sometimes people say, well, all preachers are the same. They're all alike. No, they're not all alike. All churches are not alike. I don't believe all politicians are the same. I don't believe everybody in Congress is all, well, they're all the same. I don't believe that. I believe there's a lot of wickedness. But I also believe there's some righteous people. Everybody's the same. No, everybody's not the same. Everybody at this church is the same. No, they're not. Everybody in the United States, well, they're all the same. No, they're not. I believe God has got some of his people in a lot of places that have never bowed the knee to Baal. Sometimes we think, I'm all alone. I'm the only one that loves the Lord. No, you're not. So he makes a statement. He says, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God purchased the church. God purchased the church with his own blood. You see that? If that is true, then Jesus Christ must be God. And verse 30, he also says this. Give me verse 29. For I say this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. So there's a possibility the wolves here is the lost, not sparing the flock. In verse 30, also of your own selves, among you that are saved, shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone day and night, and here's that word again, with tears. So when I first came to you, the tears that I shed just to reach you, and then the tears that I shed to warn you and to feed you. Paul must have done a lot of weeping. You know, there's a psalm somewhere that says, if we go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, we shall doubtless come again, bringing our sheaves with us. Isn't that in the Bible somewhere? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Do you think that the Apostle Paul, when he got to heaven, saw the results of all of his labor for what he has done? The seed that was sown, the price that he paid. See, Christ died on the cross and paid the price for our salvation. He paid for it in full, paid for all the sin of all the world. But you see, salvation is free. Just like we say, well, water is free, it just costs to pipe it in. And so it costs to pipe the gospel to people. It costs for the radio. It costs for the church. It costs for insurance. It costs for everything that we do. Everything got a price on it. But because of our concern to reach the lost, we pay. We give. We sacrifice. You see, maybe we don't do some things, but there is some things that we can do. I am not everybody, but I am somebody. And if I am somebody, I can do something. And if I can do something, I ought to do it. And if I ought to do it, then by the grace of God, I will do it. Here he makes a statement. 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, he said, I'm going to be leaving. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Why do you always hear the preacher saying, you know, I want people to work in Sunday school and ranch, and I want you to work in Awana? But I want you to be in the services, the main services. Why do you think I say that? Because I know that, as he says right here, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. People have got to be fed. And if you're not fed, you're going to starve to death. And after a while, you become weak and anemic, and you can't do the work of the ministry because you are not eating. You're not feeding on the word of God. So you have to have a balance between teaching and training and feeding upon the word of God itself. Look what he says. In verse 33, when I came to you, he says, I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. That's not why I did what I did. In other words, we don't do what we do because of the money. People can accuse you of it, but doesn't make it true. God knows the reason why you do what you do. Yea, ye yourselves know, these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In other words, Paul says, I was willing and did. I labored myself and I made tents and we sold them. And I made some money so that I can meet my needs and those that were with me. And you'll find out he makes this statement in the book of Philippians. He says, you have flourished again. In order that I can win souls and have fruit that abounds to your account. He says, you used to, and then you stopped. But Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in to abound, to suffer need, to have and to do without. So he says, I'm willing to labor and get the job done. So in verse 35, he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said. And you ought to underline this phrase. Did you know that it still is the basis of the Christian life, the Christian service? It is still more blessed to give than to receive. The joy of being able to help somebody grow in their faith. The joy of seeing somebody that you lead to the Lord know they're going to heaven when they die. Knowing that their destiny has been changed. Have you ever had somebody that was really hurting? Have you ever given to anybody? You ever helped somebody without somebody else knowing about it? Somebody says, unless I toot my own horn, my horn will remain in the state of untootedness forever. So therefore, toot I must. That's not you, is it? No. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you know why God even makes the statement in his word? That we should work that we might have just so we may give. You say, I got just enough to take care of me and that's all I want. Then you're missing the boat. You want to work so you can have more, so you can have more to give, to do more with it. So that's not in the Bible. Yeah, it is. Look in verse 36. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Finally, he gets to ride the boat. But he couldn't go to Ephesus. There was problems. It was out of his way. And so they came to see him. What a sermon. You realize how much good stuff is in that one chapter alone. Now, if you read that, and simply you did nothing than just to read that, it ought to encourage you to serve the Lord. I have set my face like a flint. I will not turn. I will not change. I will not alter my course, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I have received of the Lord. And you want God to use you in such a way that you become a benefit to as many people as you possibly can, and you're always trying to figure out how to teach the whole counsel of God. Learn as much of the Word of God as you can. There's some people that say, I don't need no more. One time a week's enough. Well, it may be. But the more you love the Lord, the more you want to know about Him. And the more you know about Him, the more you love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you want to know. kind of feeds on itself. I can't make people love God. I can't make people serve God. I just hope people appreciate what God's done for them. Say, what's he done for me lately? Well, let me just tell you for a minute. Let this hand represent you and me. The wallet represent sin. All of us are sinners. We have all done things wrong. And the Bible says for us to pay for sin is eternal separation from God in hell. But God loves us. You see, he wants us to go to heaven. To go to heaven, we have to be perfect, as righteous as God. None of us are perfect. None of us are righteous. We've all sinned. We've all come short of God's perfection. So God says that since we did the sin, we have to make the payment. That's why we're all in debt. We're all guilty. We're all condemned. But God says he wants us to go to heaven. But God says you cannot earn your way there. See, heaven is not a reward. They did a beautiful job on the video that they're going to be putting up. Heaven is not a reward. It is a destination. That's where we're going. It's not a place you earn. You see, God says that you and I, we cannot earn eternal life. We cannot earn a reservation in heaven. So God says, it's something that you can't make happen. You can't fulfill the law. You can't live good enough. You can't give enough money. You can't pray enough. This hand represent Jesus Christ, the Lord God in the flesh. He came into the world because he loves us. He hates our sin because our sin separates us from the Lord. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ, who had no sin, did not have to die. He took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross 2,000 years ago. If Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for all the sin of all the world, why should we go to hell and pay for one sin if he paid for all of them? You don't pay for something twice. If he paid for it, why do I have to go to hell and pay for my sins? God says the only thing you have to do is believe he did it for you. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. There's so many people who will not simply believe he did it for me. See, if he died and paid for my sins, then that means I don't have to go to hell and pay for my sins. Why? He paid for my sins. And all I had to do was accept it. All I had to do was believe it. And he would give me as a free gift everlasting life. And I get to go to heaven on what he did for me. I don't earn it. I don't work for it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him. The only thing you had to do is when you believe that he did it for you, you will not perish. That means you will not go to hell. But have everlasting life means you get to go to heaven whenever you die because it's free. If I was to offer you this microphone and you accept it, you would have a microphone. If I offered you my Bible and you accept it, you'd have a Bible. If I offered you my wallet and you accept it, you would have a empty wallet. But if Christ walked in here right now and offered you eternal life and you accepted it, what would you have? Eternal life. If it's eternal life, how long would it last? Forever. If it lasts forever and all your sins are paid, where would you go when you die? To heaven. Can I know I'm going to heaven before I die? Yeah, I've known that for 51 years. I am going to heaven whenever I die. Why? Because all my sins are paid. There's not one sin that can condemn me to hell. There is not one sin I have to pay for. And the reason is Christ paid for all of mine. God says if you'll believe he did it for you, he will put this payment to your account. So whether you're in the auditorium or you're watching by internet tonight, the only thing you have to do, it's the only thing you can do. There is no option two or three. There is no other way. There's only one way. You must admit that you're a sinner. Everybody else knows it. And you must understand that the wages of sin is death and you deserve to die. But Christ took all of our sins, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead, and says, if you'll believe that I did it for you, I'll put this payment to your account. You get to go to heaven on what Christ did. No gimmicks to it. No tricks. Two favorite verses of mine that I quoted to you a while ago. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Any good news? Best news. Let's pray, shall we? With head bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. If you're listening by internet, understand that God does love you. Yes, he paid for all the sins of the world. He paid for yours. But that payment's not put to your account until you believe he did it for you. See, there's a true and living God, and you can't make a mistake this way. See, there's nothing you don't have to stop something. You don't have to start anything. To tell you to turn from your sins and stop your sins would be asking you to do something totally impossible. You're not capable of doing it. That's the same as telling you stop being bad. And if I told you to make Christ the Lord and the master of your life and promise to serve him, that would be works for salvation, because see, that too is impossible. It's impossible. That means you would be the servant, he would be the master, and that you would have to serve the master to be saved. That means you couldn't know if you're going to go to heaven until you finished all your service. And you don't know how long you're going to live. And you wouldn't have a clue where you would go when you die. There is only one way to be certain of going to heaven. And that is if it was free. If it's free and he gives it to you now, and he'll never cast you out and never lose you, then you can know that you're going to heaven whenever you die. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, is there anyone else? Yes, that made sense to me, and tonight I will trust Christ right now as my Savior. I'm not going to have you forward, not going to embarrass you, but right where you're sitting, say, preacher, that made sense to me, and I'd like for you to know it and want you to pray for me. Anyone at all? Just slip it up very quickly. If you've never done it, you've heard about it maybe all your life, but never really trusted him. I'm not asking you to trust me or the church or don't want anything from you. Anyone at all? Our Father, we do thank you so much for your blessings, for your word that you've given us. We ask, Father, your blessings upon each one that's here, those that listen by way of internet. We pray your will to be done in their lives. Help us as your children to realize the importance. Yes, we may shed a lot of tears because of what we go through here, but it will be worth it all. And Father, we know that there's people that we love and we care about, and that brings tears too. When we see your people, your children suffer, sometimes because they're living godly lives, and others because they rebel against you. It all hurts. But Father, one day we know there'll even be tears when we leave this world. But Father, we know there's joy that comes in the morning. We thank you for all you've done for us and for this time together. Bless in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would take
my place. How permanent is your salvation? Can you lose it? Are you 100% sure that you'll go to heaven? To help you in answering that question, Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com. Jesus is coming, so keep looking up.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.